to the book of Isaiah in chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. We'll read verses 1 through 8 of Isaiah chapter 6. Pastor, you're usually done pretty close to the hour. We'll be fine. All right, we'll be done in 2 minutes, Pastor. Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would give us great wisdom as we look into your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us what you want us to learn. We pray, though, that you would help us to be willing to change where you show us that we need to change. Father, I ask that as unworthy as I am, you would use me to proclaim your word. I thank you so much that you have given us the privilege of looking into your word, of knowing you better and becoming more like you. And we pray that those things would all happen this evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I would submit to you that many believers today are not seeing the Lord. What I mean by that is that many believers today are not seeing the Lord working in their life on a daily basis. Sure, you might have seen the Lord, I hope you did, see the Lord working in your life when you came to Christ. If not, you should question your salvation. But if the only time you see the Lord working is in other people's lives, and if your Bible reading is just a verse a day, if coming to church is sometimes a chore, and witnessing to the lost never even happens anymore, I would submit to you that you are not seeing God working in your life on a daily basis. In our passage, Isaiah saw God in a vision, and his eyes were opened to 3 truths. First of all, Isaiah's eyes were opened to God's holiness. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Let's stop right there for just a minute. And notice what the text doesn't say. The text does not say, I, Isaiah, looked into heaven and I saw glorious beings and wonderful worship and the angels were beautiful and the singing was amazing. And after about a half hour of all this, I figured out which of these beings was the Lord. He doesn't say that. He says, I saw also the Lord. There was no mistaking God for the angels or for anyone or anything else. God is completely unique. He is unmistakable. He is perfect in holiness. 1988, my family and I had the opportunity to go over to England. We took the ferry across the channel to England. We went to London. We went to the Tower of London, saw the crown jewels there. And my mother was looking at the exhibit. They have, of course, the crown there and a scepter and all kinds of other jewelry. And among other things, they have the world's largest cut diamond. It's called the Star of Africa. I think it's about this big, all right, if memory serves me. About that big. Did you see that? Now, here in America, in the Smithsonian, we have the world's largest blue diamond. It's called the Hope Diamond. I think it's about that big. You could correct me if you've been there recently. But there's a significant difference in size. Now, my mother was looking at this exhibit, and she looks at the Star of Africa and says, Oh, is that the Hope Diamond? Just blurts it out. The British tour guide next to us could not help himself. He goes, "The half diamond? They put all these gods around this puny little stone. I don't know why they even bother." All right, she got an earful. Because in his opinion, there was absolutely no comparison between the Star of Africa and the Hope Diamond, the tiny little Hope Diamond. When Isaiah saw the King of Glory in His holiness, lousy comparison, but when Isaiah saw God in His holiness, in His perfection, there was no comparing God with the angels or anyone or anything else. Notice that the angels reaffirm God's holiness for us. First of all, by what they're wearing. Verse 2, "Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly." Six wings, only two of them are used for flying. The other four were to shield them from the holiness of God, His radiance. Then notice that the angels reaffirm God's holiness for us by saying it out loud. They said, "One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Isaiah got a good look at God and His holiness. Folks, I think one of the fundamental problems with Christianity today is that too few of us are getting a good look at who God is. No, we don't get to see God in visions today, but God has revealed Himself, has He not? We can spend time in the Word of God. We can spend time in prayer, talking to God, communicating with Him, communing with Him. God wants our time. He wants our attention. That blows me away! The God of the universe is interested in me. I'm a worm. I'm nothing. I'm worse than nothing. And yet God is interested in me. He knows how many hairs I have on my head, and He doesn't have to count as hard as He used to. God loves us. He wants to spend time with us. First of all, Isaiah saw God's holiness. Second, verse 5, Isaiah saw his own sinfulness. "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The light of God's holiness instantly revealed Isaiah's sinfulness. I see God's holiness in my mind as a nuclear explosion. All right, a shockwave that just strips flesh off of bone and reveals everything for what it is. However you want to visualize it, God's holiness is unlike anything you can ever imagine, anything you have ever seen. It is awesome. God, in His holiness, revealed Isaiah's sinfulness. And folks, when we see our own sinfulness, the only right response is repentance. And true repentance first takes place for the first time at salvation. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, gone forever." Folks, if you have never placed your trust completely, 100% in Jesus Christ to save you from sin, death, and hell, if you do not know for sure that you're going to spend eternity in heaven with God forever, please take care of that tonight. I would love to sit down with you. I know Pastor would. Number of people here would love to sit down with you and share with you the old story that never gets old, how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you have eternal life. But for Isaiah, already a man of God, repentance was only necessary for restoration to fellowship and usefulness. Look at verses 6 and 7 where God responds with forgiveness. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Then notice that God immediately follows forgiveness with a request for service. Verse 8, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" I find it significant that this is the first time in this passage that God communicates with Isaiah. He allows Isaiah to see his holiness. He allows Isaiah to see his own sinfulness. He allows Isaiah to repent. And now God says, "I want to use you." Immediately! He doesn't say, "Well, you've repented, all right, but you know, you're such a dirty, wretched sinner. You're going to have to do some menial tasks first before I can use you for anything important. You're going to have to go do penance. And Isaiah, you're really an idiot for doing all these bad things." He doesn't rail on us. He's our loving Heavenly Father. He wants to use us, not abuse us. Folks, if you are down on yourself because of sin in your life, if you say, I just can't break the sinful habit, that is not God telling you that. That is this world's wicked system. That's your flesh. That's the devil all trying to tell you, you can't do it. You can't get over the sin. It's just too hard. Because they know you can. They know that God not only has promised victory, has given victory. And what you have to do, yes, there could be more involved in it, but here are the key elements to getting victory, is first of all, step out by faith, trusting that God has given you. No, I'm sorry, let me back up. First of all, be completely submitted to God. Say, I'm yielded. I'm yours. Do with me whatever you want. Second, step out by faith. And say, God, I'm trusting that you have given me the victory. Because he has. Now, there may be more involved. You may need to get some accountability. You may need to get some help in some way, shape, or form. You may need to change life habits in order to stay away from whatever that is you struggle with. I don't have to go list a bunch of sins because the Holy Spirit just brought it to your mind. I tell young people when I speak to them, there's always two preachers up here preaching. There's me and there's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit preaches a whole different sermon than I'm preaching. Folks, believers today who are reading their Bible, who are meditating on Scripture, who are memorizing the Word of God, believers today who are faithful in their prayer life, those are the ones who see God working in their lives on a daily basis. Those are the ones who can then see their own sinfulness, repent, and now be usable in God's hands. First of all, Isaiah saw God's holiness. Second, he saw his own sinfulness. And third, Isaiah saw his own indebtedness. Look at verse 8 in the second half. Then said I, here am I, send me. After restoration, Isaiah is fully willing to do God's bidding. Get this, because he bases his decision on the character of God, not the ease of the task. He bases his decision on the character of God, not the ease of the task. If we, folks, could just get a good look at God and who he is, we would say, it only makes sense to serve the Lord. Like Paul said, it is your reasonable service. Give yourself to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, I present your body as a living sacrifice. It's reasonable. It's not unreasonable that God should ask this of us. It just makes sense. It's appropriate that we give ourselves to serve God because he has created us. He has saved us from our sins. We are his. We're bought with a price. And now we have the opportunity to serve the Lord. Believers today who are reading their Bible, who are memorizing Scripture, meditating on it, believers today who are faithful in their prayer life, those are the ones who see God similar, but not in the same way that Isaiah did. They see God working in their lives on a daily basis. And they make their decisions based on the character of God, not the ease of the task. Notice Isaiah doesn't ask God, is this going to be a hard job? Are the people going to listen? Is this going to take a long time? He doesn't ask that question first. He's already committed to doing the job because he bases his decision on the character of God. Then he says, is this going to take a long time? Are the people going to listen? Is this going to be a hard job? And the answer is, no, the people aren't really going to listen. And yeah, it's going to be a hard job and it's going to take a long time. Oh, that sounds like fun. Let's do it! But folks, if we could get a good look at God, spend quality time dwelling in the Word of God, speaking with God, communing with Him in His presence, we could get a better look at God, then we could be shining lights in this dark world. You know, somebody compared us to reflecting lights, because we are not the source of light in this world, but we can reflect the light of God. How do you expect to give off light if you're not exposing yourself to the light, folks? How do you expect, like the moon, to be reflecting the light of the sun if the earth's in the way? There's going to be an eclipse. Folks, the fields are white unto harvest. I used to work at Walmart. Great opportunities to witness there at Walmart. You know, it's easy to be a testimony these days. All you got to do is smile at work. I promise, if you're constantly smiling at work, people will ask you, what's wrong with you? And I had great opportunities. I had one guy walk up to me and said, you know, I notice you're always happy. He said, what's the secret? And so I got to share the gospel with them. Great opportunities. Let me share with you one time that I completely, utterly failed. I'm not proud of it. But the fact of the matter is, you failed too, haven't you? And yet, God wants us to get back up, shake it off, repent, and move on. You know, God's kind of standing there with the pancake flipper. When we fall flat on our face, He kind of scrapes us up, stands us back up, fluffs us up, and says, go, I forgive you, as long as we're repentant. I want to share this with you because it shows just how white the fields can be unto harvest. I was working at Walmart, stocking the eggs. These things take forever to rotate. A man walked up behind me. He had hair down to here, probably in his mid-30s, and he's looking at the refrigerated biscuits, all right? And I said, are you finding everything all right? And he said, well, no, not really. I said, oh, well, what can I help you find? What he said next blew me away. I was obviously not praying without ceasing. I was obviously not meditating on the Word of God, or I would have said something. You know what he said? He said, I'm looking for peace, contentment, happy life. Got any of that around here? The Holy Spirit of God inside me was saying, say something! Folks, people out there, whether they know it or not, are looking for the relationship with Jesus Christ that you have or can have. Folks, they want what you have, even if they don't know it. Often, I think when people get angry with you for sharing the gospel, not always, but I think often it's a sign that they're under conviction. God's working in their heart. Praise the Lord. I know it can be difficult. I know it can be long-term sometimes. But be not weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Folks, the fields are white unto harvest, but you will not obey God's command to go and preach the gospel to every creature until you see God in His Word and in prayer working in your life on a daily basis. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this privilege that You've given us to share the gospel, this privilege that we have to take a good look at who You are. You tell us that when we seek You, we will find You if we search with all our hearts. We pray that that would be true of us, that we would be seeking You. We pray that You'd help us to be faithful on Wednesday, as Pastor has challenged us to fast, so that we can better seek You. I ask that that would be the first step in this church toward revival in my life, Father. I pray that You would use us for Your glory in sharing the gospel with the lost. We pray these things in Jesus' name.